Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Chakra Way Meditation Podcast. Today, I'm joined by the lovely Leslie Driffin. And Leslie, I think, has a really interesting mixture of modalities and things that she is an expert in, and I cannot wait to get sort of really stuck into them. First off, can't even speak today. First off, she is a somatic psychedelic guide. Fascinating. A sensual embodiment coach, yes, please. And menstrual cycle educator. I think we all need that as well. So welcome, Leslie, and thank you so much for taking time today to join me.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah. So first of all, I mean, this is the nosy part of me. How on earth did you come to be all of these things? Because they're fairly diverse. I'm guessing that there's a good amount of overlap within them. But how did you get to be all of these amazing things that you are?
I think the shortest answer is because I've been so disconnected from my body as a woman. Mm. From the time I was really small, I was born I was adopted. So I have some trauma around that. But I was adopted by a family where my dad was a preacher here in the deep south of the United States. So I grew up extremely religious, and connecting to the body was not something that we did, right? Like, and especially as a woman, the whole sin of Eve, like that was really a subconscious program for me that only in the last couple of years I've revealed within myself as something that really held me back. And so what I've noticed with the ever-changing pivots of my business is that I think it's all in an attempt to help me come home to my body. And I know so many other women struggle as well. And so the somatic part of it, the psychedelic part of it, the sensual part of it, the menstrual cycle part of it, all of that is really about how do I understand who I am within myself? How do I come home to myself, heal the shame that I have felt about being a woman, and really live a fully lit up and authentic pussy-led life so that I not only shine for myself, but shine and give permission to others to shine too.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. I mean, I feel like this is a wound that so many women have. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't even have to be that you were brought up with a lot of shame or with a very religious background instilling that shame into you. Even if it was just never talked about, even if it just wasn't an open subject, you know, like I can't remember any of those kind of bodily function conversations.
Right.
In my family.
Yeah.
They just didn't happen. And so my body was a foreign country to me for a very, very long time. And I think that that is the case for a lot of people. And I think when you reach puberty and you become desirable, you go, oh, somebody wants me. And then you kind of, you have no concept of that the boundaries, if they're not installed young. Oh,
yeah.
Fascinating. Yeah. This is going to be so interesting. So which came first to you? Was it the sensual embodiment or the menstrual or the psychedelics, or did the psychedelics get you there?
So interestingly enough, psychedelics were last.
Oh, really?
So for me, I think what I've noticed, the very first was my menstrual cycle. Mm-hmm. So in 2019, I had my spiritual awakening after years of disordered eating, alcohol abuse, and just being fully disconnected from myself. Interestingly enough, I was a news anchor for about 15 years. So mm-hmm. I had a very, very high profile public life here in the States, where I presented this very put together part of myself, and then at night would go home and like need to drink to cope with all the shit that I just saw on the news. And so in 2019, in January of that year, I had a spiritual awakening and sort of got into all of like the gateway drugs of spirituality. It was crystals and tarot and astrology, meditation, of course. Like I started a meditation practice in January of 19. And through that year, as I really started to understand what it was to even have an intuition and understand how to listen to it, because I had never like understood that phrase, like trust your gut, never heard really internally like what that was saying to me. I kept getting this intuitive hit that I needed to get off of birth control because it was stifling my divine feminine. And I am child-free by choice. The biggest fear of my young life was to accidentally fall pregnant, most likely because of my birth mother falling pregnant at 12. And so I was terrified. And fortunately, I was at that point, I'm still dating, but like about to get engaged. Now I'm married to my husband, who got a vasectomy. And in 2020, I got off the pill. All hell broke loose. I'd been on hormonal birth control for 16 years, immediately lost all of my libido. Yeah. It was in 2020, which was like the worst possible time to quit the pill, which causes stress on your body, while we lived through a global stressor in the pandemic. And I didn't get my bleed back for about 8 months. Mm-hmm. So connecting to the cycle for me first looked very masculine. Like, I'm going to do everything right. I'm going to know what to eat for each phase. I'm going to know how to, you know, cycle sync my workouts. I'm going to have all the charts. And it wasn't until I understood that I needed to slow down and come back in touch with my womb that finally everything like fell into place. Mm-hmm. So the menstrual cycle was the gateway. And then pleasure fell really closely in with that, because as I started to connect with my womb, I started to uncover the trauma that I held within there. Trauma from getting diagnosed with herpes at age 18 as a preacher's daughter, the shame that I stuffed into my body and just decided not to look at, past lovers that I had who were terrible and narcissistic. And so after it was the womb and pleasure reconnection, psychedelics really came in to help me finally become someone who felt worthy of pleasure and worthy of love. And through those three things, and then of course adding somatics and embodiment, which kind of was already there for me, that's really how I morphed into what I do today. And I left TV in that time and really like stepped into my full authentic self.
What a journey.
Yeah, I threw a lot at you.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just writing a note here to ask you later. So this is so important for us all to understand, those of us who have a womb, understanding the trauma that we, you know, when I think interestingly, when you're open to the idea of energy and chakras and holding emotion in your body and it getting trapped or imbalanced or whatever, not spinning, blockages, you know, bad guttering, that kind of sort of idea of your body, it's really a very easy step to go, actually, all of the sexual trauma, all of the trauma of being a woman, even being a mother, or the choice not to be a mother, is held within the womb. I had a beautiful experience once, a teacher who, when you're meditating, we were encouraged to enter into our wombiverse. And I adore that as an idea. of like we hold so much in this organ that us women have. There is so much power that comes from it. And when we have trauma there, it will come out in, you know, the various different diseases that are becoming more and more common. I don't know, off the top of my head, things like endometriosis and stuff like that. Yeah. So what is it that you actually do? So, you know, what do you actually do in terms of this? Because this is an extraordinary, brilliant journey that you've been on for yourself, but you're now doing what with that?
Yeah. So right now I mostly help women reconnect to themselves through healing trauma in an embodied, somatic, and often assisted by psychedelics way. So what I find is I have a lot of clients who have been in therapy for a really long time, who are highly intelligent, self-aware women who realize that talking about their trauma is not helping them heal. Mm-hmm. And maybe they have a bunch of other spiritual modalities like meditation, like embodied dance, but like something isn't clicking. And so those women will usually come to me for microdosing support or full dose journey support. And within our sessions, I'll guide them through meditations or guided imagery visioning to really start to unlock and look at what's in their subconscious, which is a wonderful asset of having this medicine be an assistant in the work that I do. And then move through what does come up. So often we're working through unworthiness. We're working through feelings of not being lovable, betrayal, grief, loss, all sorts of things. And so my work is usually one-on-one virtually. And I also have a wonderful community of women who are in my group online called The Sanctuary. So that's what I do. And, you know, I first was a menstrual cycle coach. And then over the last 18 months, I've really shifted into adding this other aspect, because for me, like I said, in the very, very beginning, I really believe that I was put here on this planet to go through the things I've gone through so that I could help others and be like a guidepost for those who are just a couple steps behind me. Right. Yeah. And I think that my own journey of coming back to myself and healing my trauma has been like, I've always been headed that way. I just did it in safe ways because, let's be honest, like, for me, menstrual cycle coaching was health, right? Like, it wasn't a weird out of the box thing, even as a news anchor, to be like, let's talk about the health of this.
Yes.
And then it was even to go into the psychedelics aspect, because I started shifting into psychedelics next, as far as coaching goes. And, you know, yes, I had to go up against the folks who think that it's a drug that's like bad for you and all of that shit, but that still felt okay. Like, I can use the science as well as the mystical aspects to like explain this. And then when I finally started talking openly about sex and my herpes diagnosis just about 6 weeks ago, this has been like the game changer, because I think for me, it was always trauma related to that. And so as I heal myself, I think I attract those who are also looking for that form of healing. Yeah. And I was talking about the sensual aspects of life and the womb a little bit before that as well, but that's sort of how it all came together and how it's shifting. And who knows where I'll be in 18 months, right? Like, okay. my thought is, you know, life shifts, we shift, and we help who needs to, we heal what needs to be healed so we can help others who need to heal those same things.
Yeah. No, we all need somebody to hold our hand as we go through these healing journeys. It's rare and or a very tough ride if you end up doing it on your own, I feel.
Oh my gosh, I felt so alone. Yeah, I felt so alone when I was doing this.
Yeah, I'm sure. And it's interesting, as you're talking, I'm thinking, I don't imagine that there is a woman alive who has not had some kind of trauma around her cycle, around her reproductive organs, around sex and sensuality. And it's interesting that you were talking about, and you've reminded me of something I wanted to say about your ex-partners and so on. Yeah. And I know that there are, for some people who are very in touch with their divine feminine, with their own energy, yeah, that they now cannot bear to have sex with and be, you know, have within them the fluids, semen of a man who is not on the same energetic wavelength as them. And I find that that's a concept that I had have only really just sort of been introduced to as a friend that was telling me about this. And I was like, this makes so much sense that if you have, you know, as receivers of this energy, we have to deal with what is, you know, the consequences.
Yeah.
And it's a very big deal. So how do we work through, like, you know, if somebody's listening to this and they go, oh my God, I know that I had, because let's face it, we all had dreadful sex in our late teens, early 20s, whatever, like, you know, with all the wrong people. And it doesn't sometimes hit you until many years later that that actually was traumatic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, personally, when I first became sexually active, I was very much in love with my boyfriend and, you know, we had sex and then he dumped me. And so I'm like, okay, great. And then the next boy who asked me out on a date, we went out for dinner and we went back to his place and I was really, really naive and mm-hmm. he took advantage of me. Let's just mm-hmm. put it like that. And it's really not until, you know, until probably the last decade, even if I'm being generous to myself, that I realized that that was a really, really traumatic experience. So I'm putting that out there to say, like, there may be something in your past that you have completely stuffed down. Mm-hmm. And when we stuff this stuff, God, I'm really speaking well, aren't I? When we stuff these emotions and these traumas down and ignore them or don't address them, they will come out in some other way physically.
Mm-hmm.
And especially our sexual traumas, they get stored in the hips, in the pelvis, mm-hmm. in all the organs that live there. How do we go about sorting this out? Because, you know, we can go to a therapist and talk about it until we're blue in the face, but the fact is that it's stuck in the body. So what is a somatic approach? What are your somatic tools?
And
how do we go about fixing and just beginning to heal from this?
Yeah. I know, I think the first thing is becoming aware of some of the things that you mentioned, right? And you don't have to go deeply into an incident that may have been incredibly violent or triggering for you, but I think it does help to just, okay, become curious and become aware of what might be in my history, right? And if you don't know and you don't want to dig into that, that's totally okay too. But the reason I say that is because sort of what you mentioned, and thank you for sharing that, a lot of incidents like that cause shame for us. And so when we start to look at some of the things that may have happened and, okay, well, how does that make me feel ashamed? I think shame is such a potent emotion that is stored in the womb. We can then start to work with how is shame now manifesting in my life now? So in what ways do I feel not confident to ask for that raise? Which way do I feel not confident to, like, go after the person that I really want versus settling for these douchebags? Which ways am I hiding the parts of myself that I don't feel fully able to express in my friendships? And so that first bit, I think, is always important. And it's journaling, it's going to those places in meditation. And then I really do a lot of womb work through breath, breathing into the womb, and an external womb massage. Hands on yourself massage, right? Like, I'm not a practitioner who touches others. So I usually help them understand how to give themselves the massage. So working with the external part of the belly, noticing what comes up for you when you touch your belly or when I say the word belly.
Yeah.
Because it's not just sexual trauma that we store there. It's body image issues. Mm-hmm. It's if someone bullied us. And it's like if we ever looked at our vulva in the mirror and didn't like what it looked like, because maybe it didn't look like what we'd seen in pornography.
Yeah.
All of those little internal judgments and those little tiny things that create shame for us are stored there too. So external massage, vulva massage. So really starting to touch that part of yourself in a loving way. And it doesn't have to even have orgasm as the goal, but starting to encourage self-pleasure for the ritual aspect of that. And then another thing that I have folks I work with do is yoni gazing. So getting a mirror, setting it up in front of you, very like you're on the throne and you're looking at that space between your legs with reverence, with love, with adoration. And if you have a partner, they can do it as well. You can have them look at your vulva in that way. So those are some of the ways that we can start to honor the space, which I believe when we begin to honor that part of ourselves, it does help to move some of the trauma from our tissues in that area. For me, something that was incredibly, incredibly beneficial, and also something that I have taught to like my high level clients, but not something I recommend folks just like go out and do, is internal vaginal massage. There are practitioners that do this for people. So there's a wonderful person. I think her stuff is called integrative pelvic care. She's an actual, I think, massage therapist who does internal massage as well. And for me, I was just using a glass wand, so a sex toy basically, to massage the vaginal canal. And this was right after I'd come off of birth control. And my libido was just non-existent. And so I slowly, and you know, with a lot of oil, I had done my yoni gazing, started to massage the internal wall of my vaginal canal, thinking of it like a clock going from 12 to 3 to 6 to 9. And I got to this spot on the upper right quadrant of my vaginal canal that felt like pins and needles, like a pinch. And immediately I heard the voice of this guy I had dated after I got divorced in my late 20s, total narcissist. And I heard this thing he used to say to me as clear as day. And this has been like 6 years since I dated that guy. And that shit was right there. It was that pinch and it was his voice. And so what I did as I held that wand there on that space, tears definitely came up for me, and breathed through it as I just sort of did like a trigger point massage on that little area with that wand. And then yeah. I kept moving and it was out. It was cleared.
That's so
very, cool. Very, very fascinating that that type of thing can be cleared that way. But it's also like if you've ever gotten a massage and you have shit come up for you in a certain place, like a knot in your shoulder, and if you ever have a memory or a belief or a thought come through for that, very, very same thing when it has to do with the fascia of your internal vaginal canal.
Yeah, of course. Why wouldn't it? Why wouldn't it? Absolutely. And I think this is such an important thing to have out there because, you know, we're all very good. You know, when you were talking about the internal massage, I was thinking about those people who do internal inside your mouth, you know, inside your jaw massage. And somebody, you know, you could go to a massage and they go, would you be willing for me to do a massage in your jaw? And you go, yeah, that's fine. But like if they say, you know, I feel like you've got some tension in your vagina, are you happy for me to go there? No, I don't think so. You need to be signed up for that for sure. You need to be along your journey and knowing that's the
absolutely
right thing to do. But
and there are certainly practitioners that like are super sus, so like you have to be discerning when you choose that for sure.
Yeah, but I can totally understand the and see the healing benefits of that, and I love how you describe it because it is as simple as finding that space that feels wrong in whatever way, listening to what comes up, and then breathe it out. And it's such, in my very small way, yoga is very similar to that. Like you come across, you know, you're doing hip opening and there's some sort of pain in your hip or, you know, and you can interpret that and you work through it and you breathe through it and you listen to what comes up for you. And it's exactly the same. So why wouldn't you do the same for your vagina as you would do for your hip or your knee or your shoulder? It makes absolute sense. And it's such a freeing thing to hear that is available, that is something that we can do. You know, you've done it for yourself, and somebody with a little bit of awareness and a little bit of a practice of this kind of self-care would easily be able to do that.
I think that's really what's so important. I have friends who are in this space and call themselves healers. And I don't know if I like gravitate toward that word. I really feel like my mission is to give people the power to heal themselves. And sometimes when folks ask me like, what are these somatic practices? And I'm like, breath, it feels so little. It feels like I'm like, well, I'm not really unveiling some like mystical shit back here. It's like literally the thing you carry around with you all the time. And yet, like, you know, it's just so powerful when you can get present with it. And yet it's still such an area of resistance.
Yeah. Well, of course,
like it's hard.
As soon as that stuff, that difficult stuff comes up, what does the body do? It resists it. It goes, no, I don't want to go there. I don't want to feel this. I'm like, I've been running away from this pain and this horrible thing for years, and I've successfully managed to ignore it all of this time. So what, you know, like the body's resistance is huge.
Yep.
And so I think, but it feels to me like you're an empowerer. You're not a healer. You're an empowerer.
Yeah. I feel, I gravitate towards the word like activator, awakener, permissionary.
Permissionary. I've never even heard that word before, but it's absolutely.
That's because, yeah, being a preacher's daughter and the wife of a former missionary kid. Yeah, that's an interesting one. But, you know, I think what you're saying about having that resistance, because we've been in these patterns for so long, that's where psychedelics help so much.
Yes.
It really helps to allow us the grace and the compassion and the gentleness, specifically psilocybin or magic mushrooms, which is what I usually work with my clients and myself. But I think that's why these like divine teachers in that sacred earth medicine are so good at especially helping women heal womb trauma, sex trauma, issues feeling worthy and loved, because they really open us to our subconscious and hold our hand while we walk through the door into those dark spaces.
Yeah. And doing psychedelics with intention, you know, all drugs, all mind altering states are, you know, all healing, whatever, all breath, everything that you do, if it is done with intention, with the right intention, it guides you down the right path. That's just as simple as that. So people who are scared about taking, you know, doing psilocybin in whatever form and thinking they're going to have a bad trip, or whatever, because they've heard the horror stories and whatever, and we've been told that this is evil stuff and we must stay away from it, it's illegal in various places and so on. Know that it's only ever going to be a bad trip if you're doing it for the wrong reasons, doing it with the wrong people, doing it in the wrong environment. And other than that, it is nature's absolute gift to connect us to ourselves and to the universal power, the universal energy.
My teacher, Michaela Delamico, she had this wonderful thing I heard her say recently. And she basically was like, what I realized, you know, I was so scared of the bad trip. And then I realized once I had consumed these mushrooms is that life is the bad trip. And then this is how we heal that trip.
Love that. Yeah. So You're in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Is it legal there?
Nope.
So you have to travel when you do your.
Yep. So Colorado is right next to Texas, and they've legalized it. And there are a couple other states who are either decriminalizing or legalizing. And, you know, as someone who grew up here in the States in the like post-Reagan era, where I, interestingly enough, won a t-shirt design contest for my DARE program, Say No to Drugs, as a third grader. I desperately wish I could find that t-shirt.
Yes.
And I, you know, like those commercials where like, this is your brain on drugs.
Yeah.
I had to do some deep inner work to really accept the fact that like, what did I believe and what did I not believe? And I think the pandemic opened a lot of people's eyes about like, does our government really give a shit about us? And are the rules that they put in place for us loving or controlling?
Yeah.
And there's a really wonderful phrase by Terence McKenna, who was an early psychonaut, and basically summing it up, it's like a loving government did not make these things illegal because they were worried you were going to jump off a fifth story building. They were worried that you'd be uncontrollable when you had come to this place of oneness and understood that like, we're actually all from love. We're all the same. And why the fuck are we killing each other? Why is war? Why are we all up in this capitalist society? So when I really started to look at that and question, right? Like I've always been a questioner. That's why I was such a good journalist. Question why that's what I believed. And does it serve me now? That was helpful to get me to this place where I accept that, yes, in certain places across the world, this is illegal and it can get you in a lot of trouble. And I also accept that there are millions of people self-medicating with this sacred medicine because they don't either trust Western medicine or the pharmaceutical industry. Maybe they've been completely gaslit by those industries, or they've tried to reach for therapies like medicines for anxiety and depression, like I was on in my 20s, and it just didn't work very well for them. So I really feel we're going to see a major shift in the next 3 to 5 years globally with how we're looking at these things. Thank the goddess that we're funding like millions and millions of dollars into research studies to look at how psilocybin and other psychedelic compounds are helping people. Because I really think that this is an answer that the divine put here on this planet to help us know ourselves and to know each other. And that's truly what we need at this point on this planet.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and it's crazy to think, isn't it, that I know, you know, back in the sort of 40s, 50s, there was a lot of research going on proving that it was huge. And then, of course, that was all shut down when Vietnam happened. And it was like, no, we don't want you to take tabs and not, you know, we want you to go to war. But it's insane to think, like, in where I live, near where I, you know, in the countryside, I live in rural countryside. I know that there are various places that I could go to in the autumn and pick the fields of magic mushrooms. They're all over the shop. How can something that grows naturally in the wild be illegal? Mm-hmm. Seems crazy.
Totally like crazy.
If you were taking those mushrooms and you were making some synthesized something out of it, like, yeah, maybe that they could deem that as unsafe, but this is like nature's gift to us. Like, why are we being told that it is not okay to do it? You know, in the UK, it's still illegal. But yeah, I could go out in the autumn time and pick a basket of the things if I wanted to. No problem.
Yep. So, Liberty caps, I think, are what you guys have a lot of over there. I definitely had like past lives in the UK, so I know I'm going to get over there, definitely go to Glastonbury at some point, and maybe I'll come in the fall and just pick some Liberty caps myself.
Yeah. You should, definitely. You should. Yeah. So you've got this incredible, I love this, the whole mix of everything that you do. And I want to take you back to the menstrual cycle educator, because I know a lot of women, you know, we suffer with their cycles. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a really, like, here we go again of cramps and heavy flow or irregular or all sorts of the issues that there can be. Mm-hmm. So how do you help people on that aspect of things?
Yeah. So for me, I first help women and those with periods understand what it is to live in tune with their cycle. Because I think a lot of people are confused about what a menstrual cycle even is. I think if we asked folks that on a poll, like, what is your menstrual cycle or how long is your menstrual cycle? The vast majority say just however many days they bleed. And in reality, you're always somewhere in your menstrual cycle. If you're of reproductive age and you're not currently pregnant or breastfeeding, there's a little bit of like a hiatus in the cycle during those times of the, of life. But the way that you look at the cycle is the first day of your bleed is day one of your cycle. And that cycle lasts until the day before your next bleed. Mm. And so within those generally 28 to 35 days, you have four very distinct phases within the cycle where things like your mood go up and down, your metabolism goes up and down, your brain function goes up and down. Like, we know, right? Like, we know when we're moody, we know when we can't fucking focus. Yeah. So the first thing I do is help women and those with periods understand, okay, this is, first of all, my unique hormonal mix, my infradian rhythm is what it's called. And if I learn to live in tune with this versus thinking I need to adhere to this very masculine way of living, which is set up for male hormones, which are every day the same. One, I can understand when to plan certain parts of my life, when to give myself more self-care, when to rest and when to push, versus this idea that our society really puts in play that we have to be the same every day. Those encyclical bodies are not, right? We are the same month over month, just like the moon, but men are the same day after day, like the sun. And that's what we revere. That like, that's what consistency is for folks. But if you can start to track your cycle, you'll notice your own consistency. You'll notice that on day, let's say 28 of a 32-day cycle, my mood is so terrible. I want to kill everybody. Like, don't fucking look at me. I'm also always hangry. Like, we know that that's going to be a thing. So what do we do that day next month? We make sure we've meal prepped. We make sure we have like delicious things to eat. We plan solo time and we sleep, right? And so that's the first thing I help folks understand is what is their unique cycle blueprint? And then how can we make some shifts in what's happening so that you can handle cyclical challenges like cramps or PMS or PMDD a little bit better, right? And we talked about this earlier, and I love that you mentioned this. Like when we pay attention with intention, things shift. I have had so many clients that the second they just started to pay attention to their cycle, cramps were less. Your body's begging you to pay attention to it. All they wanted you to do is like, listen. Yep. And notice like, okay, if you feel like shit and you've already like signed up for that class at the gym and you are about to have your period, like don't go.
Yes.
Just take a nap instead of, you know, feeling like you have to force yourself. But paying attention, I think is just what so many of us have been told isn't even that big. Like we don't need to, it's unnecessary. And if you ask a medical doctor, they'll be like, nah, like it's not that big a deal. You don't even really need your cycle. These are all things I have heard. Period's not that important unless you want to get pregnant. False. Don't even worry about ovulation unless you want to get pregnant. Let me just give you some birth control, which is basically like your house being on fire, the smoke alarm going off. And instead of going and investigating why your house is on fire, you just put some new batteries in the smoke detector or turn it off completely, AKA take birth control. So you don't hear the symptom, AKA that loud sound, but your house is still on fire.
Mm.
And those are those cyclical issues, right? PMS, cramps, missing period. Like me, I was diagnosed with PCOS, post-pill PCOS, because my period did not come back for so long and I had cystic acne and had elevated androgens. So it's just really interesting that just beginning to pay attention to your cycle can be really healing for a lot of people.
Yeah. So do I gather that you're not a great fan of the pill?
I am a really great fan of the choices the pill gave us when it comes to having control over our female reproductive organs. Of course, I'm a fan of the pill based on the fact that I live in Texas, where they fucking stripped us of our female reproductive rights last year.
Yes.
And in the year before. So yeah. I think that the pill for birth control is a wonderful tool. Mm. And I think that doctors who give the pill to 12-year-olds because they have cramps or acne are fucking ludicrous.
Yes.
I think that doctors giving those aged girls IUDs are ludicrous.
What?
Oh, I went to a panel here in my little Texas town in, I believe, 2022, of all of these doctors, these gynecologists, all females on the panel. And one was basically bragging about how she gave a 12-year-old an IUD because she had such terrible cramps. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Did you ask her what she ate? Did you ask her what her diet looked like or what her life looked like? Have any other holistic interventions before you put this kid under anesthesia to give her an IUD at 12?
Insane.
So it's one of those things where when medical field uses it as a band-aid because they don't want to look and do the hard work of investigating those holistic things, that's what I'm not okay with.
Yeah.
And I also don't like the fact that so many of us, especially here in the States, have an abstinence-only based sex education. We do not understand our fertile window. I was told I could get pregnant at any moment. I thought if I looked at a boy, I was going to fall pregnant.
Yeah.
That's what I was basically learning. Mm-hmm. But the truth of the matter is you're only fertile for about 5 days. And that's because of a 24-hour ovulation window. So you cannot get pregnant any day of the month. And if we understood that, if we had more cyclical awareness about what was really going on with our own fertility, we wouldn't need the pill like we do.
No. Yeah. Fair enough. But this is education that's so, my God, it feels when you describe it, it's so obviously fundamental, but we are not taught it because I don't know. I mean, I hate to go around blaming the patriarchy, but it's very easy to, isn't it?
When it's their fault all the time, it's so hard not to blame them.
You'd know damn well that if men bled every month for like a quarter, you know, like literally like a quarter of their adult life they spent bleeding, they would do something about it. They would be, you know, it would be all about, yeah, it would, yeah. Anyway, let's not.
They'd have free period products in every fucking gas station, convenience store. You could get it out of the vending machine. Yeah, we would have already settled this. And they would be getting so much anesthesia for any little medical procedure.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, like, yeah.
Like having an IUD put in or taken out, which is not a fun thing.
I went and talked to that doctor after that panel, and because she was saying that she didn't usually give women any type of pain relief because she said that it didn't hurt. Like, are you on crack? Nothing. Are you on drugs? Like, is she on psychedelic drugs? Because I've had two IUDs put into my life and they were the most painful procedures I'd ever had.
Yeah, it's not fun.
No,
it's not a fun thing to do. It's not a fun day out.
No. So
I mean, that should change. No, it's no fun at all. So I'm with you on that. Yeah, I mean, I think the education of young women on their cycle. I mean, imagine if you knew what you know now when you were 13.
Oh my goddess. Totally different life.
Totally different life. Just and so I guess the question, I guess the thing that we can do right here, right now, is like everybody who listens to this who has a daughter who is maybe young, is 7 or, you know, 10, younger than 10, like start having these conversations, because the more girls that are, because girls will talk, you know, like, so if your daughter knows this stuff and she goes and talks to her friend at school, and then they start talking about that. And what's really interesting is I think that, you know, young girls get told lots of different things by their parents and by their educators, and the schools will say one thing and they'll just give them the, you know, the rote whatever it is that they're supposed to say. But if there are girls out there going, no, this is true, like, I know this is real, I've read a book about it, or I, you know, my mom, I trust my mom completely, she told me about this, then it becomes more, I don't know, I just feel like I really regret that I did not have that education and that none of my friends did. It was all just like, oh, you know, just go to the school nurse and get yourself a massive chunky pad and waddle around like, you know, feeling ashamed of yourself and like trying to hide it. And we're so ashamed to bleed. And it's such a beautiful thing that we are able to do, the power of this divine feminine that is within us.
Yeah. And I'd also offer one other thing besides feeling like you need to educate your daughter, just start modeling through your own behavior.
Yeah.
And look at your own internalized taboo around your bleed. Do you hide it? Are you feeling confident about taking time for yourself? Do you speak about it with your family? You know, I don't have kids, but I have nieces, and I have my period start today, and like, they know they're set, like six. Well, one just turned 7, one's 2.5. And I'm like, yeah, I need to just take some time because I'm about to have my period. Like, open conversation with tiny children, male and female, right?
Yes.
I did this thing when I first began this work for myself. I created a chart and I put it up in my house, and it showed where I was in my cycle, what I needed. And granted, you know, it's just me and my husband. So I was like, this is what I need sexually, including like, don't look at me.
Yeah.
Do not touch me. Do not look at me. But like, this is where I am. This is my energy. This is my mood. And so if you have kids, you can make a chart. You can put it up and say, this is what mommy needs. She really would like to have a movie night with you guys and just calm, chill out. Mommy's going to take a bath. You guys watch your favorite show, or maybe dad can do whatever, or your other partner, your other parent. Maybe we're going to go play outside at the park today, or let's go on a family walk. So ways that they start to understand that, okay, this is part of a cycle, a season, just like outside, right? The nature, the natural world. And can they start to respect it in a way that like doesn't feel like they're even really going to have to ever, like you said, like when they hear that whatever gets told them at school, they know, okay, yeah, that could possibly be part of the truth. But like, I also know within my bones, because I've seen this powerful feminine mother of mine, like, show me this already, that
exactly,
that's not the truth.
And I'm thinking, like, on that chart there, it's like, don't push mum's buttons because she bloody well explode on those 2 or 3 days. She will push it if you push her on those days. And that's because of the hormones, my lovely darling children. It's life. That's just the way it is. Yeah.
And what a wonderful conversation too, to have like a daily check-in with your emotions, with where you are. Like, that's also creating conscious communication between you and your children and your partner and everyone to help understand boundaries, to help understand moving through the nervous system, which is all impacted by the cycle. So I really feel like that's an important one. And the last thing I'll say about it too, is if you're listening to this and you're in your mid to late 30s, and maybe like that was me, right? Like, I felt so sad that I had gone so long without knowing this. It is never too late.
Yeah.
You just have to release those thoughts because that's shame.
Mm-hmm.
Being ashamed of the fact that you lived X number of years being disconnected, your body is waiting for you to come back to it. It wants to be your friend. It wants you to listen to it. This is the longest relationship you're ever going to have. And so if you've been at battle with this part of yourself, it's never too late to come back home.
Yeah. And then of course there's the perimenopause,
which I'm about to be in. Yay. Yeah.
So I'm in the middle of all of that fun stuff as well. And that's a hell of a roller coaster. So like, again, like it's so unpredictable. And then from having this beautifully predictable cycle that you're in, it's like somebody just puts it all in the blender and mixes it up and then chucks it out on the floor and goes, there you go, that's how it is now.
Yeah.
Don't know, you know, like losing your memory, forgetting words, forgetting, you know, just like all the various physical things that come up for people. And this is, you know, and perimenopause can go on for a decade, you know, more sometimes. So here's another wonderful fun thing that only us lucky women, us divine goddesses, manage to survive and thrive in. Because for me, I just want to add a little bit at the end here saying perimenopause is actually one of the most wonderful periods of freedom. It gives this, it's like, I'm done with the mothering thing. I'm not going to be a mother. Good. Even if you are a mother, that's kind of done with. And now this is time for me to come into my own strength, my own power. It's the shift in hormones is really interesting in terms of the sense of empowerment, your needs and wants. You don't have time for the bullshit anymore.
Yep.
You just don't tolerate it. Maybe that's just me. But I'm talking to my friends who are all similar ages and are older than me, that is definitely the case. So yeah, there's your next mission, Leslie, is to sort us all out for the perimenopause. But listen, this has been such a rich conversation. I absolutely love talking to you. Tell people how they can get in touch with you, Leslie, and find you.
Yeah. So you can find me on Instagram at Leslie Draffin. And if you are listening to this conversation and it's really resonating with you, maybe you have had cyclical problems or you're going through perimenopause or you are interested in inviting microdosing into your life, I would love to offer you a no pressure discovery call so we can chat, get to know each other, discover whether working together might feel aligned, or just to answer some questions that you have. Because I feel like there is always hope. Right? No matter where you are in your healing journey, you don't have to do it alone. And so if you would like, you can just send me a message on Instagram with the word hope, and I'll send you a link to book that. And I also have some other courses. Maybe we can do some show notes. I have a course on cyclical living called Cycle Codes. And like I mentioned, a wonderful sacred online community for mystical women, where we really get in touch with pleasure. We move through our emotions somatically and mindful microdose. And that is called The Sanctuary. So a lot of different ways.
So before we go, Leslie, as well, tell me about your podcast. You have a podcast, The Light Within. Tell me a little bit about what that's all about. Yes.
Sure. So The Light Within, I started it in 2021 while I was still a news anchor because I wanted to get the chance to talk about whatever the fuck I wanted to talk about, the way I speak without being censored. So it is on all things spirituality, sexuality, and empowerment and mysticism. We talk about the widest range of topics because it's truly just whatever lights me up. That's what we talk about. So you can find that wherever you get your podcasts. We talk a bit about menstrual cycle education, especially around season two. It's in season four now. Season three was very focused around plant medicine and psilocybin. And this year is looking to be a lot about like mindset. That's sort of the flavor, it looks like, of this year.
Fascinating. Well, you know where to go find it. Wherever you look for your podcast, The Light Within. Brilliant. Thanks for telling me about that.
Sure.
Fantastic. I'm so enjoyed talking to you, Leslie. It's been amazing. Thank you for your time today. Thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.